Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury and welcome to this ASI cast. Richard Marx is talking to the chair of the final session of this year's television and video conference, Eyo Mosala, head of smart data and audience insights at the Finnish public broadcaster YLE. They discuss how audience measurement specialists and data analysts can increasingly work together to ensure video measurement is fit for purpose.
Okay, well, welcome, Eyo, to the podcast. We're delighted that you've agreed to chair our Friday afternoon session in Athens, and you'll be looking at the new priorities for audience measurement. Now, perhaps firstly, as a new chair for the ASI this year, can you let us know about your role at YLE and how you first became aware of ASI?
Well, I'm head of Smart Data and Audience Insight, so that means audience insight people who have done it for several years and really good in that, and also then new businesses like data scientists and data engineers. We've had those in our team for multiple years already also, but we are getting bigger and having complex problems to solve, so a new world.
And do you take in audio, radio as well as video in your
yes.
Department?
And also, of course, text. Like in a machine learning way, we are interested in all of the types what we are producing, so video, audio and text that we have in our websites.
So effectively everything that YLE is putting out to the Finnish public, really.
Yes. We are also modeling stuff to like age and gender to all of the content that we have, so we're not only focusing on video or only focusing on audio, but trying to understand the customers as a whole using the whole variety of our services.
Well, it sounds like ASI is the right conference for you to be at and definitely chairing. But how did ASI first come onto your radar as a conference?
I've been going to it for several years, so I don't even remember what was the first sort of impulse. Maybe it was something to do with the TV People Meter developments or something like that, because that's also, of course, still money-wise a huge part, like the spending to the measurement.
Well, not trying to go too far back into your memory banks, but just looking at last year's event in Nice that I know you're at, what were your main takeaways from that event? I mean, obviously it's a year, so the detail may have faded, but if you think of the broad themes, the debates that really stuck in your mind from that particular conference.
I like the division of audio and video being on a separate days, but in the afternoon both mixed together, because they are so close to each other, and also in audio side we can benefit so much from the video and vice versa. Of course, coming from a public service company, it's always very interesting to hear BBC's work, and Alison Winter gave good insights on how they've sort of shifted the non-linear audiences to the linear side and what sort of troubles they have had in there. So that was really interesting. And also maybe another point from the TV was Nielsen's Brian Furrer's presentation about US TV and how it has changed with the streaming services. And I think that was what was nominated also the best presentation of that year. So that one I remember very good.
Yes, that also had an influence outside the conference hall, because some of the charts that he put up went a bit viral on Twitter, where people are slightly in shock at the size of some of the figures.
Yes.
Although there are a lot of viewers in the US in the first place to watch things, you tend to forget how big the population is itself. But yeah, Brian's back this year, because apparently there've been... he said that the presentation last year only sort of touched the tip of the iceberg in terms of their understandings, because that was hot off the presses, where they've now had a year to do some more detailed analysis about how people use the services. That presentation was very much about the sort of the first fruits of it, but also Alison Winter will be back in the radio conference about the launch of the new the new BBC app, which I think is called Sounds, BBC Sound, which I think is bringing together their linear and non-linear stuff in a more effective way. But I don't want to preempt because I assume that's what it's about. But we'll find out when people start to send their advanced papers through.
Sounds very good.
Yes. What are you hoping to get from your session specifically in Athens? What do you think of the big themes about the future of audience measurement? What are you scratching your head about in terms of what you need to be doing in the future, what measurement needs to be providing, and, you know, I guess the gap between the present and the future in terms of what it's doing at the moment and what it needs to be doing?
I'm very keen on hearing about the speakers there and their point of view in this audience measurement and analytics coming together, and how we can benefit from the both sides or the both worlds. Of course, in the audience measurement side, there's the limitation of panels, and how do we handle that one? And in the analytics world, there's maybe limitations in understanding the all of the data, or especially interpreting the data. And both sides can really benefit each other, but we need to find new ways, clever ways to combine those and not keep them in separate worlds. So I'm hoping that we will get some new insights on how we have dealt with it and what's the route to go further.
Yeah, it's interesting that your session is structured in such a way that we start off with some, you know, specific examples of measurement systems that are bringing, as you say, those worlds together, like the TVOV system in Norway, and an update on the Nielsen system in the States, and also I think Medimetri, Julian Rossenvallon's talking about their full screen measurement. But I think gradually the session evolves into a more existential examination of, for example, Justin Sampson talking about where do we need to go from here. The emphasis has been very much on full screen measurement, but are there other areas, yeah, not least connected TVs, that need attention in terms of measurement? And then also a paper from Bernard Engel and Robert Nicholas, who are looking at how the TAM, the actual JICs themselves, may evolve. And I know that's a topic. I know you have FinPanel, which would you describe that as a JIC, or it's an interesting situation, isn't it?
Yes, FinPanel is owned by both Kantar and Nielsen, so it sort of brings us both of the worlds to our hands. Of course, it gives other maybe limitations as well, because they need to agree on the things that we're doing also. But there is a JIC also there, coming from the ones who are, you know, ordering the service. So FinPanel is a bit like Kantar or Nielsen, not as in the same way as MMS is in Sweden.
Mm.
So there's a JIC where all the commercial channels and public channels, and also the advertisers, are in within the same group, deciding on what direction should that research go.
And in terms of the session as a whole, I know you'll be doing an introduction to it, stating your personal take on where you think the challenges lie. And I don't want to preempt that too much, but I know, for example, you've got an interesting view on some of the hybrid approaches that are being used, where we're combining panel data with census data to sort of effectively paste is probably too simplistic a word, but effectively fuse the person's data from a panel onto census data. Is that something you're going to be touching on during the session?
Yeah, we have some interesting results from Finland on that part, and we're able now to give profiles to the player data as well, individual programs and all that. But what's also interesting is that in our company in YLE, we've been doing age and gender modeling for quite many years already, so we have like similar data already And that's why we are able to also learn from the data that we have now and give an input to the process that we're doing with FinPanel, with the TAM data and the census data.
So what have you been modelling within YLE? Is this sort of users, subscribers with survey research?
No, there's a YLE ID, which is the training data in the machine learning process, so to speak. So the sign-in users are teaching the other data parts on with the viewing behavior and with the listening behavior, the reading behavior.
This is the sign-in when someone signs in online to one of your properties?
Yes, and it's not compulsory, so people have voluntarily done that. There's 1 million YLE ID sign-ins already from the population of 5 million. It's a really good bunch of people who have voluntarily signed in, and this bunch we are using to train the data. It's a logistic regression, so it's not like magic, but it still does wonders to people actually using the analytics data, because now they can understand more about it, and it actually changes people's actions, which is what always our aim should be. I think that all the research and all the work is useless if somebody is not acting upon it and changing what they're doing in everyday life. And I mean journalists writing their articles and people making stories.
Have you done any sort of background research on the degree to which people always use their own login, or whether there may be multiple users within one login session, as it were? Because I know there's been some discussion in a number of countries about whether broadcaster logins could actually be used within the currency, because, you know, obviously they are much, much larger sources of data and more granular than you can get from a panel. But I know there are concerns that the person who's logged in isn't always necessarily the person who, that they're more reliable at a household basis than perhaps a person's basis.
But the different devices vary, of course. In the training sets, we are not using the data that comes out of the smart TVs, because that's an environment when multiple people are viewing. Mm. So we're using the devices that are more individually used. But there are, of course, ways to understand the data and understand if one device is actually two people.
Mm.
Because the data is so mixed, and those things can be added to the whole pot. But I'm in a similar mindset that the most important thing when using the sign-in data is that the people who have signed in know where their data is being used. Like, they are in the driver's seat. So if we would use the sign-in data at some point to maybe benefit the panel data or some other project, we would have to be very clear to the people that, are you voluntarily giving also your data to that environment as well? So there are different sides of using it, but I think that panel data alone cannot solve our problems in the future.
Mm.
Because it barely does it now. I mean, in a way of understanding more of what kind of change is happening, because there are tiny, tiny things that happen which guide us, and we need to understand the tiny things as well. And panels are always limited.
Have you come across the work Channel 4 in the UK have done in the last year or so? I think it's called Project Tarantula, where they've attempted to bring together the login data they've got from smart TVs, laptops and mobile, an attempt to model them together to give like a person level, effectively a person's level viewing across all their devices.
I don't know that particularly. I've heard about it, and we've been looking or following Channel 4 in many ways in the past years. I mean, in the way our data architecture is built, what kind of languages we're using while building it, and I think Channel 4 is a really good example for many of us on the path on the signing data. I also know that they made compulsory some of the sign-ins in the way, and they didn't struggle with the fact that it was mandatory, the sign-in.
No, it was at the time. I mean, this is getting on for nearly 10 years ago, I guess. At the time, it was very controversial because the other broadcasters were saying, no, we're not doing that because it will limit the number of people who want to do it. But now, fast forward, obviously the other broadcasts are now desperately trying to get their viewers to log in because, you know, the Channel 4 model of what they've done, you know, with, you know, I think at the last count, over 10 million people that they've got, that they can use for effectively CRM as well as general viewing tracking is pretty impressive. But at the time, people were almost saying, why are they doing that? But it's because they were thinking ahead. So it's an interesting
but
test
case.
But I mean,
in the quite recent years also, when they've shifted some maybe consoles or some different environments also, you know, behind a mandatory signing. Nowadays, it isn't affecting that much in like people's minds. I think people are more willing to give their data now than they were some years ago.
They're certainly more used to it. I've got a Word document on my computer that I think last time I counted had 128 passwords for all the things I have to log into, whether it's everything from obvious things like Amazon to the electricity board. It's just you're right. People are much more used to that. Although you still do get broadcasters talking about developing a universal login that could be used, one login across all the broadcasters. But I'm conscious we're delving into one of the themes from the conference. We don't want to preempt it too much. But looking more widely, I mean, with all your responsibilities at WAI, looking at the radio, the TV and the joint conference as a whole, what other issues and challenges do you think stand out as being important that we'll need to be covering at the conference?
I think it's very important to understand the shifts that will happen in audio, the voice or speech recognition, voice assistance, and what can that world help us in developing our understanding about the audiences? That it won't be so long when we can use the voice assistants to tell us who are the people that are in the room, because we can hear that they're breathing, because we can the sound is echoing from one angle or one human from another. So from the voice alone, we can recognize so much more that we are recognizing now, and what sort of data and understanding will that bring us? I think it's fascinating. So I'm hoping that people also touch upon that side. Also, facial recognition. I was just in China a few weeks ago, and it's sometimes scary, but also amazing. What can be done in with facial recognition?
Well, with both audio and facial recognition, as you say, there's some decisions we need to be. I actually wrote an article about this last week, because the ability to go beyond facial recognition to measure mood. I know they've tested. There's a company in the US that's managed to put facial recognition in cars, so it can tell whether you're too sleepy to drive, or whether you're looking angry and therefore shouldn't be allowed to drive, and sell coffee to you. So the question is, how far do we as an industry want to go with this stuff? Because, you know, it's fascinating to see what's going on, but you've the danger is that degree to which A, it freaks people out, and also might put us in a moral position about what do we do with the data that we're hearing.
That's true, but also we can use it wisely. It's like the recommendations engines that we have in YLE. We also put diversity in the recommendations. So the one who's doing the algorithms can also guide the way to a brighter future. So it isn't just for, you know, getting bigger audiences to one program, but it's maybe to recognizing what an individual people might want to watch from a completely another genre to widen up their perspectives. So the data can always be used wrongly and it always can be used more wisely. And I don't think that data is ever like completely bad, because we can use it in multiple ways. But also to think about the moods, I don't think that the moods will be the first ones that we could benefit. There are multiple things that are already out there, even though that we're not like looking into the details of human beings all the time. But I mean, like time and context where the media is used, place where media is used, and a lot of other like simple things that we can add also to make a more like a holistic understanding about the users and help them to find meaningful content for them.
Interesting. Well, that's definitely one of the themes we'll be touching on in a number of points during the conference. So thanks for your making the time to have a chat with us today. And we look forward to your session at the conference. And I look forward to seeing you in Athens myself.
Brilliant. Thanks.